genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning out of sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's 639-0008. Or if you're out of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Carpe Diem, Seize the Day. Both of my guests will explain how to make the most of the time we have each and every day. My first guest recognizes that the old paradigm of time is money is dead. We would gladly exchange money for a little bit more time. Business people and consumers both need to reevaluate their priorities to capitalize on the new paradigm of money buys time. Adrienne Siott is the CEO and the founder of Exponential Edge. She has been called one of Silicon Valley's most respected strategists by Consulting Magazine. She has worked with some of the most innovative Fortune 500 companies as well as startup companies to gain a market edge in today's exponential economy. In addition to consulting, Adrienne writes a popular column at fastcompany.com. And she chairs the Strategy and Growth Roundtable for Harvard Business School Association in Northern California. Adrienne holds an MBA from Harvard Business School, and she holds a Bachelor of Science from UC Berkeley. Welcome to the show, Adrienne. How are you today?
Well, thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you on. You are truly a thought leader in today's business world, so I want to get right to it. How does today's multi-screen, multitasking culture driving changes in our consumer behavior?
Well, as you know, there has been a big change in the way that everybody behaves. You look back 10, 20 years ago, and we didn't have this multi-screen, multitasking culture. And so this is a dramatic change, and what I've been looking at is what are the ways that we need to address this trend.
Okay, great. So the trend is towards what? Faster, give it to me now, I need it when I need it. What trends are you seeing based on your research?
Well, really, it has to do with the fact that we're always connected, the fact that we're overloaded with information, and how do people make decisions under that? And as you know, people factor time into most decisions these days, but I'm finding that a lot of businesses tend to overlook this because they're using old business practices.
Okay, that makes sense. So give us a kind of a framework for understanding this time value aspect of our consumer relationships. You have something called timeographics, don't you?
Yes. And what I found in my research in doing the book is that a lot of businesses right now just think they have to get louder. And as you know, that just annoys everybody. And so what I have found, though, is is that we have ebbs and flows to our attention. So there are times we just get sucked into the internet or we get sucked into some activity and we don't even know how the time has passed. And that's what I call a time magnet. What are those things that create time magnets, and how can businesses think about that? And then at other times we shun things and that we don't want to spend any time on things. And so really, rather than trying to fight and get louder, how do we work with those ebbs and flows of time and attention, and how can businesses really profit from that?
Gotcha. Now, one of the time magnets that I think of most often, especially with younger people, is video games. Video games can be a huge time magnet. You get drawn into World of Warcraft, and man, you could be there for hours, can't you?
Absolutely. You get into those kinds of games. There's also Facebook. that is a big-time magnet for folks. And there's also online games like Farmville that about 26 million people play that every day.
And I don't understand Farmville. They keep sending me pigs. I don't know what to do with them. But that's another story for another time, Adrian. So you've got some interesting statistics in your book, too, that, you know, that, for example, customers are spending only 28 minutes a day researching and buying goods and services. That's an incredibly small amount, isn't it?
That's right, Bill. I actually started to look at time use statistics from the U.S. government. And although we think of our customers as buying all the time, the reality is it's a very small percentage of their time is actually in the buying process. And that's less than 3% of waking hours that people actually spend buying. And to top it off, if you're an e-commerce provider, if you have a website, for example, people spend less than 6 minutes a day.
6 minutes a day on a website? Ooh, well, I like
on
that.
E-commerce.
Oh, on an e-commerce website. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. All right, well, so what does that mean for marketeers? What does that mean for retailers? If we know that we're still spending a very, very small percentage of our waking hours buying, what implications does that have?
Well, I think this calls for new approaches to trying to engage with customers. And as I mentioned, there are ebbs and flows and trying to understand how your offering plays into that. So, for example, is your offering a time magnet? Is it something that people are willing to pay high time and attention to? So if you're selling, for example, to another business, perhaps something that's critical to their success at getting promoted or something that's critical to their success in their job, that might be a time magnet for a business-to-business kind of situation. And in a consumer side, you know, we already talked about Facebook and things like that, that where people just, they're fun and people like to be involved with that. On the other extreme, if your product is something that people primarily look at as part of price, you might need to rethink some ways to play into that, because people are only going to look at your product or service long enough to get the best price and move on. And there are a number of ways in the book that you can play into that in the time of graphics that we talked about. You can turn things into a habit and make it repeatable, or you can play into some elements of time savings, and that also is attractive to people.
Oh, cool. We're talking to Adrian Ott, everybody. She's the author of the book, The 24-Hour Consumer, New Rules for Winning on a Time-Starved, Always Connected Economy. I want to ask you some specifics. Let's put some picks and shovels into the hands of my listeners right now, and let's talk about specific companies. You live in the Silicon Valley. How much would you say Apple's success stems from differentiating customers on their time priorities versus just their tastes and their needs?
Well, it's really interesting, because if you look at some of the companies here in the Valley, like Apple and Google and Facebook, from a traditional business perspective, what you learn in business school, you would say that they're not really competitors. You know, one's in the search engine business, as in Google, another's in social media, and then Apple, of course, is in the computing business.
Mm-hmm.
But they're very much competitors because they're fighting for the customer's time right now. And I just wrote a blog post on my Fast Company blog that talks about this time war that's going on, because a lot of it has to do with, if you have the time and attention of the customer, so for example, if you have the iPhone, Apple's basically taking a toll through all the applications that are coming through that iPhone.
All right. Well, now, that's interesting. I love the phrase that you use, time wars. Let's dig into that a little bit deeper. Now, and let's talk about the three that you just mentioned, Google, Apple, and how are they competing in the time wars, as you call them?
Well, if you think about it, in many ways, Google and Facebook specifically are ad-based revenue models.
Right.
And the more time that people spend with them, the more attractive that's going to be for advertisers.
Okay.
But what has also happened is there's studies that have shown that more time is more money, so that when people spend more time in a store, they tend to spend more. So if you can incent them to spend more time with you in a way that's pleasant to them, you're going to generally get more revenue out of the relationship. And so Facebook right now has people that are on site, and that has value to them in terms of the advertising that they're able to and monetization opportunities that they're able to present in terms of applications.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, because we had David Kirkpatrick on the show a little while ago. He's the author of the book, The Facebook Effect. Mm-hmm. It's the bio, if you will, of the Facebook company and Zuckerberg in particular. But he said that right now Facebook, people on Facebook spend more time on Facebook than they do on Google, and I would certainly say than they do on Apple as well. Yet Facebook hasn't been able to monetize it. Facebook's advertising, granted it's brand new, but it isn't generating nearly the revenue that Google's advertising is. So how do you weigh those two factors?
Well, I think we're about to see some things change, and we're already starting to see Facebook starting to earn revenue, and I think they're on an upward trend in that from my perspective, because they do have more time and they do have more money, and they're going to be able to offer these applications through them. So, for example, the Farmville that we just talked about, they
take
a percent of that. So if they can offer these kinds of applications, so it's not just ad-based revenues, it can be through these other applications.
Got it.
All right. Offer.
Got it. We're talking to Adrian Ott, everybody, author of the book, The 24-Hour Consumer. Adrian, we do have to pause to do a little business here, but when we come back, I just want to tease the audience. We do something called the Quick Fire, and when we come back, I'm going to give you the names of different types of companies in different industries, and if you could tell me how they could make their businesses more time-sensitive, more time-based. We'll do that when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My guest today is Adrian Ott. She's the author of the book, The 24-Hour Consumer, New Rules for Winning in a Time-Starved, Always Connected Economy. And Adrian, before we went to break, I was saying we're going to do the quick fire, which is I give you the names of some types of businesses. You tell me how they can make their businesses more time-centric, more time-oriented. Okay, you ready to play?
All right. Here
we go. First would be a quick print or copy shop.
Okay. What I would look for there are instances where the customer has procrastinated and needs their printing done very quickly, and if you can provide that very quickly.
All right. So you're looking for fast turnaround, last-minute type of jobs and projects.
And those you can probably charge more for and provide more service around that. So become the solution for them to come to.
Well, what would be some of those surrounding services that you're referring to?
I would look at adjacent needs. So, okay, if, for example, it's a if it's a business person that has to print a report and then ship it somewhere, or they have to do graphics, or they have to do, you know, linking in with what's needed to finish that.
Okay, good. Now, let me give you another type of business, and how would you make this more time-oriented? An auto repair shop.
This is a good one. I would start a database of what I call predictive repair. And so it's not just keeping their auto records, but trying to get as much information about the customer in terms, so you can send them notices when their maintenance is due, and also maybe predict some other things that they might want to look at.
Okay, good. So if I'm an auto, let's say I'm an oil lube change place where you go in and you have your oil changed. So you would just send me a card every time you thought that I would hit another 3,000 miles and it would be time for me to come in and get my oil changed. What other sort of products would you flank that with that you might also lure me in to do?
Well, I think also thinking about other things related to the oil repair business that you might be able to help them be predictive with. And it would really depend on the mix of the shop and what they're doing, but maybe it has to do with tune-ups or with alignment of the tires. It really depends on the shop itself and what they need. But and maybe collaborating with other auto shops that provide those specialized services so that you start to develop a database around certain clients, and then you can predictively
Isn't that clever? I like that idea a lot. That probably was worth the price of admission right there. That's good. Let me give you another one, though. Grocery store.
Okay. Grocery stores are a very interesting because you could do anywhere from the delivery model, but also there might be some things you can do in terms of providing services in the store if you're more sophisticated on technology, doing some things with adding some information for the customer with their through their cell phone.
All right, help me to understand that a little bit better, Adrian, because what would that be?
I'm thinking in terms of if somebody's going down the aisle and they want to understand the health content or something. There's some applications that are starting to emerge. We're just starting to see this, and so we're at the very cutting edge of this. But there will be a point where you'll be able to look at a product and scan it, and it's going to tell you things like, is it from sustainable sources, what kind of health content it would need, and there might even be some diet sites you could maybe tie into.
Okay, now that's very clever. We're talking to Adrian Ott, everybody. Let me give you another type of business, Adrian, car dealerships. How could they be more time-centric?
Oh, I think people rarely walk into a showroom these days. In fact, we bought our last car through the Internet.
Really?
And so I think really tying into those services, and there actually was a database that somebody told me about in, I think it's in the Midwest somewhere, where somebody started to collect all the cars that were in the particular local area, and that has a lot of value for people, that they can find out what models exist where and where to get them, and either providing that service or tying into those services.
All right. Now, help me to understand this. You've piqued my interest, Adrian Ott. We're talking about you bought your last car online. So walk us through, how did that whole experience go for you? You never walked into a dealership to look at the car, smell the interior, anything like that?
Yes. We did go take one test drive, but
okay.
It wasn't from the dealer that we necessarily bought from. It was just to take a look at the car. But the purpose of the trip was not to actually buy the car. And then we went online on one of the dealer sites, you know, the online sites, and then it gave us a number of dealers that had the car that we were looking for, and then we negotiated over the phone.
Wow, interesting. Very interesting how the world is changing. We're talking to Adrian Ott, everybody. She's the author of the book, The 24-Hour Customer. She's also the CEO and founder of Exponential Edge. Adrian, if people wanted to learn more, maybe read some of the articles that you've written about marketing, where would they go? What URL would you direct them to?
We have all kinds of resources and ideas at our website, which is 24hourcustomer.com. That's the numbers 24HOURCustomer.com.
All right, great. Now, I've got to ask you, we just did the quick fire and talked about different types of businesses, but what are some of the challenges that a 24-hour world creates for marketers these days?
I think what's happening is, as I mentioned in the last part of the show, that there's a very small time window when people actually buy. But I think that mobile technologies and some of these new Internet technologies are really a way for businesses to change the game. And so one of the things to think about is, could you change the form factor of your business? Could you time slice your business, for example, break it into smaller pieces so people can absorb it?
All right. Now, what do you mean by time slice? Give us an example there.
Well, Bill, you had talked about video games, how video games were time consuming.
Right.
One enterprising company called Digital Chocolate, run by Trip Hawkins up here in the Bay Area, they time-sliced video games into smaller pieces. Trip Hawkins realized that a lot of people couldn't play video games because it did take a lot of time. And so he broke the video game, or he created video games that could be played on a mobile phone anywhere, like if you're standing in line at the post office.
I see. Very interesting. Well, Trip Hawkins made me a lot of money back in the 1990s, so I have a great deal of respect for him. Do you know him personally?
Yes, he's in the book.
Oh, okay.
I have a whole case study on his company.
Very cool, very cool. All right, we're talking to Adrian Ott, everybody. Now, Adrian, one of the guests we had on last month was Laura Vanderkam, and she's written a book called 168 Hours, You Have More Time Than You Think. And her basic premise is this: you have 168 hours in a week. If you work 40 to 50 hours and then you sleep 56 hours, that leaves you 62 hours to do other stuff. And her whole premise is, if you budget those 62 hours, you'll get it all done. Today's businesses and services kind of go along with that because they want you to do things in their time frame, you know, when their store is open, when they're ready to do business with you. But by going to longer service hours, extending things like you're talking about here, aren't you really just aggravating or adding to people's procrastination and not giving them the focus that they need? How would you comment on that?
Well, I think the challenge is the customer is deciding when they want to buy. That's the big change. We used to have, and in some states I think they still have what are called blue laws.
They
where,
do.
You know, people could only shop at those during those hours. Now the customer is deciding, and the amount of time, as I mentioned, the 28 minutes, that hasn't changed. It was about 30 minutes in 1960. So that really hasn't changed much since that time. So but what has changed is they may be doing it midnight.
All right. So in the intervening 50 years, really the time spent buying has gone down by 2 minutes, from 28 minutes in 30 minutes in 1960 to 28 minutes today.
Yeah,
that's
it's not statistically significant. Pretty much constant.
Yeah, pretty much the same. All right. But this isn't a new concept, is it, Adrian? I mean, 7-Eleven came out with this idea years ago that if we have our stores open from 7 to 11, we can charge more for our milk. What's different today?
Well, I think what's different today is that you have new ways to integrate with customers. So it's not just about making your business 24 hours. It's ways that you can rethink the business model so that you can address customers in different ways. And I have a number of techniques in the book that you can systematically go through. And so we talked about time slicing as being one of those. You could time slice your category and reach all new customers, and that's what happened with Tripp, with digital chocolate. He ended up moving away from the traditional gamers to actually mature adults who had kids and wanted to just have a quick break. And so you can start to reach new markets that way by doing that. Zipcar is another example. They started to reach urban consumers that may not have been able to have a car before because they were in urban or college environments and only needed it part-time.
For those of the listeners who don't know what Zipcar is, because you live in the Bay Area, you're much more familiar, but just give us a real quick overview. What is Zipcar?
Zipcar timeshares the automobile. So what happens is they have these automobiles throughout a metropolitan area, and basically you can walk up to a car, type into your cell phone, open the door, and use the car. And it bills your account. So it's a time sharing kind of situation, so you only use the car when you need it.
Gotcha. All right. I understand. We're talking to Adrian Ott, everybody. She is the author of the 24-Hour Customer. We only have about a minute left, Adrian, but a lot of this, the businessman in me says, well, what if you're in a business that has thin margins anyway? You know, you talk about cars, and those have pretty high margins. You talk about software, those have incredibly high margins. But what if you're in the grocery business or something else? How can you time slice your business and still maintain some profitability by being expanded hours?
Well, I'm not necessarily advocating expanded hours. That's just one way.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, how can you create more dwell time or become a time magnet? What can you do to encourage that customer to be in your store longer and buy those higher margin goods while they're there? And I have 8 triggers I've identified in the book that redirect customer time and attention. And those triggers are the things that cause us to get stuck in Facebook and cause us to spend more time in the store. And that in my mind is probably the best thing you can do profitability wise, not necessarily having to expand your hours.
All right. Well said. Adrian Ott, she's the author of the book, The 24-Hour Customer, New Rules for Winning in a Time-Starved and Always Connected Economy. Adrian, where can they find your book?
It is at all the bookstores that we have around in retail. It's also on the web at places like Amazon.
All right. Now, you're being far too modest. Weren't you also just promoted at CEO Reads, one of the great online bookstores?
Yes, it is. It is on the homepage.
On the homepage.
Reads this month.
You are a featured read there, so congratulations. And if people want to learn a little bit more about you or about your consulting business, where should they go?
www.exponentialedge, which is the name of my company, .com.
That's wonderful. Adrian, the time is too short, always when we have interesting guests like you on the show. Thank you for the time. We'll be talking to you down the road.
Bill, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been a delight.